Hi, it's so good to be here with you this morning. Pastor Sean, thank you so much, as always, for opening your pulpit for me. Wasn't worship incredible this morning? I got to be here for the pre-worship, and that practice was good. I was on my knees in that, so it's so good to be home at Cornerstone. Before I say anything else, would you mind if we could just go before the Lord in prayer? And genuinely ask the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts today, that we would truly hear what he has to say, to see what he is at work in our lives. Will you do that with me this morning? Let's pray. We have the privilege to be your sons and daughters. What an incredible gift that once we were not a people and now we are your people. Once we had not experienced mercy and now we have received your mercy. And so, Lord, I pray this day that we would follow you into the calling of pilgrimage that you have for each and every of us. Lord, let us see what you are at work in our hearts and let us move beyond ourselves on to the road of pilgrimage. Father, I pray that the words that I share this morning would be yours and not mine. Take your full glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Driving in America is always an adventure. For the most part, people stay within their own lanes. People drive so very fast. It always takes me some time to readjust. One, I don't have a clutch anymore, so I'm always kicking the floor of the car, looking for the gear shift. Americans drive so fast, but it also helps that there's no horse carts in the middle of the highway. So that's always good. I almost hit a baboon a few weeks ago, and I'm not joking, that is true. I did see something the other day that made me think. It was this big truck. It was this big white behemoth of a truck. On the top, it had this massive hydraulic cherry picker, and I can only imagine the elephant-sized cherries that this truck was going to go pick. The back of the truck was covered with so many caution lights, it looked more like a rhinestone cowboy than a utility vehicle. And what got me was this giant plaque, and it said, "Safety is our goal." Safety is our goal. I have to be honest with you, I feel like that truck is lying to me. Think about it. If the goal, the primary objective, the object of that truck's ambition or effort, its ultimate aim or desired result is safety, then what is it doing on 95? 95 is not the safest place for that truck to be. At home and in the driveway, that's the safest place. Under a shelter, surrounded by a moat, maybe guarded by ninjas, that's the safest place to be. You get my point. The goal of a utility truck like the one I saw is not safety, but purpose. That truck was made for a purpose, and that purpose wasn't to sit in a garage. It wasn't to stay in one safe place. If it was, they wouldn't have put wheels on it. You know, Elise grew up here at Cornerstone, and I had the great privilege of marrying into the family here. But we knew that as much as we love Cornerstone, Cornerstone was never... Our road was never going to lead to Cornerstone long term. Cornerstone is such a place of healing, a place of restoration, a place of help for us. Cornerstone gave us a safe place when we lost our first daughter to miscarriage. Sean's shoulder was a safe place for me to cry. Cornerstone gave us a safe place, a place of safety when people didn't like my teaching. Some of you may remember that. I got picketed here at Cornerstone, yes. And Doug Wheeling wrote me a note that I have to this day. Cornerstone gave us safety when we were violently expelled from Sudan. There are seasons in our lives when we need safety. Amen? If you are in a season of brokenness this morning, hear the word of God, rest. If you are in a season of healing, heal. That sounded like I was commanding a dog to, sorry. If you're in a season of healing, just let the Holy Spirit work. If you're in a season of restoration, let God draw you near. But friends, we were made for more than just safety. We were made for more than sitting safely in the driveway of life. Cornerstone commissioned Elise and I into ministry in Richmond. Cornerstone commissioned us into the nations, first sending us to Sudan and now sending us for the past several years into Senegal. Is it easy? No. Was it made to be easy? No. Have you ever felt like you were made for a purpose? Thank you, Pastor Jason, for letting us celebrate this morning with you. I'm so glad that this was the day. Have you ever felt like you were made for a purpose? Made for more than just safety, made for something that eclipses everything else that's come before. Everything else in your life pales in comparison to that purpose. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to give up to fulfill that purpose, to reach that goal? It's like the great singers of Motown, like Tammy Terrell or Marvin Gaye. Ain't no mountain, ain't no valley, no. Ain't no river wide enough. Or another one, I'd climb the highest mountain, I'd swim the deepest ocean just to be with you. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. You made my soul a burning fire. You're getting to be my one desire. You're getting to be all that matters to me. And let me tell you, I hope and pray each day I live, a little more love I'll give. A little more love that's devoted and true, because all I do is think about you. Mm-hmm. That's romance right there, guys. Can I do one more? I thought I might. No, come on. I just came back from Africa, guys. I need more response than that. Amen? Okay. Like sweet morning dew. Any song that starts with that. Come on. Like sweet morning dew, I took one look at you, and it was plain to see you are my destiny. With my arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I will go where you lead, always there in time of need. And when I lose my will, you'll be there to push me up the hill. These are early worship leaders. There's no looking back for us. We've got love, sure enough. That's enough. You're all I need to get by. Are you willing to spend yourself, your very soul, in pursuit of the purpose that you were made for? May I say that again? Are you willing to spend yourself, your very soul, in pursuit of the purpose for which you were made for? A few years before the Marvelettes and the Supremes went to Motown, there was another soul songwriter on the other side of the world. Let's read the lyrics that he wrote for us found in Psalm 84. See what I did there? Psalm 84. If you've got your Bibles with me. Psalm 84, we're going to read the entirety of this psalm. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 84. As you're turning there, please just hear these words, the word of God for you today. How holy is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Thank you, Pastor Brandon. I love you, friend. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. Psalm 84 gives us rich visuals of what our passion to be in God's presence should look like, to drink deeply of his nearness, to rest and rejoice in his beauty. What a place! The nearness of God Almighty, the security of his holiness, the overwhelming glory of his righteousness. The second verse is so intense. Longing, and yes, even fainting, my soul is for the courts of the Lord. The psalmist knew he was made for more than just safety, more than just day in, day out. As he wrote the words of this song, he was recognizing a deep longing in his soul, a deep crying out to deep, a realization that he was made for something that eclipsed everything that came before. Everything else in his life paled in comparison to that purpose. And that is the meaning of the word we translate here for longing. It is to pine for something, to be focused on something that becomes eclipsing to everything else. But the psalmist doesn't leave it there. He is eclipsed by this passion to be in the presence of God, but he is also wasting away, fainting, like fading grass. Everything he is spending the entirety of his soul toward this one goal, to be in God's presence. And where do we meet the psalmist in this love song? Do we meet him in Jerusalem in the shadow of the temple? No. We don't find him in the temple courts rejoicing that he has arrived. How many of you have arrived this morning? Mm-mm. We find him in the desert, in the dry and desolate desert, with his eyes searching the horizon for God's presence. We find him like a pilgrim traversing the distance toward the goal. No matter rivers high or valleys low, because each day a little more love he has to give, a little more devotion dedicated to reaching the goal. But the Valley of Baca isn't a great place to be. It literally means the Valley of Weeping. This is not a vacation spot. You don't go Disney this. Even in the valley of weeping, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Reading Psalm 84, I wouldn't be surprised if the psalmist was a missionary. So often, people think that missionaries are spiritual giants. Clearly, you can tell by my height that's not true. Men and women who trek into the jungles of Peru, heroes who ford the Nile and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. The view most people have of missionaries is a romantic one. It sounds a lot like the songs of Tammy Terrell. But really, missionaries are just normal men and women who looked at the sign on the back of the truck that said, safety is our goal, and said, really? Missionaries are men and women who took stock of who they were, who God had made them to be, and set their lives on a road of pilgrimage toward the eternal presence of God. They say with the psalmist, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who set their hearts on the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. As many of you know, I grew up in Africa. I started going to boarding school in fourth grade. In my senior year, in the dorm, my roommate and I decided that we would give our dorm room a name, and we named our dorm room Baca. This was for two reasons, one very spiritual and one very poor sense of humor, because the dorm that we were in is named Chui, after the Swahili word for leopard. I didn't even get to the punchline, y'all. Come on. Because this chapter has meant a lot to me over the years. You know, as a senior in high school, I read the commentary that said that as pilgrims would walk through the valley of Baca, they would actually dig holes in the ground. Why on earth would you spend the little precious energy you have in the middle of a desert to dig a hole? Because the little bit of water that you have with you, you can't leave for the next person after you, but you can dig a hole for when the rains come, when you pray for the rains to come. Those that follow after you will have water. As you go through the valley that's desolate and arid, and you trek that pilgrim's path to the presence of God, understand that there are men, women, and children who are following behind you. What will you leave for them there? These devoted believers willingly pass through the hot and dry valley, driven by their passion for God, overcoming the heat, the dryness, the hard climb, and they would dig holes, not for themselves, but for those who would come after them, so that those who would come after would have fresh water to drink, even in the desert. Missionaries aren't heroes. Please hear me clearly. Missionaries are just normal men and women who really take God at face value. We moved to Senegal, and we were required to function in that country. We needed to learn two languages, Wolof and French. And so 3 days after we landed in the country, we hired a lady to work with our family to watch our younger three because they were still at home. And she would be in one room with our younger three children, and we would be in the other room painstakingly learning Wolof. We invited her into our home, we invited her into our lives, and slowly through the little bit of Wolof that we could piece together, Elisa's incredible in Wolof, we would give her our testimony, our witness, our love of Jesus. And months passed, and we walked life with this young lady. She came into our home and watched how we parent our children. She watched how we love one another, even in the midst of her husband taking a second wife. Even in the midst of her husband, after taking a second wife, abandoning her and her crippled son. Even in the midst of when her father took her to the village, required that she put on animistic worship, we call them grigri or jujus, witchcraft amulets that she had to wear on her person, and she hid them under her clothes. That was a conversation we had with her from the very beginning, that she wouldn't bring those into our home. That was not a part of her life. She said, no, 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 I've never worn any amulets or witchcraft things. And I believe her. I believe that she was being honest. But her father, so furious about this divorce that was happening and the crippling of her son, his leg had never grown properly. And so he demanded that she wear these things. Well, we didn't see that, but we saw as when she came back from the village, her body was more slumped over. Her face became more ashen gray. And one day, as she was sitting by a closet door, I looked at her from the kitchen and I said, Lise, would you just go put your hand on her and begin to pray? Lise walked over to her, put her hand on, I'm going to call her Miriam, on Miriam's shoulder and just said, Jesus. And Miriam fell to the ground and began to convulse. So we called some Christian neighbors, and the four of us, with her feet kicking in a closet door, prayed for deliverance into Miriam's life. We asked her if she had any witchcraft items on her person, and she said, yes, my father made me put them on a few days ago. We went and got a pair of scissors, and she cut them off herself, and she confessed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Please hear me when I say this next line, because this is very important. We dug a well for Miriam, not a physical well. We gave her a witness to Jesus. Miriam is a reason why I'm a missionary. She is a reason, but she is not the goal. There was a young man, his name was Abdullah, which means slave of God. And he was the one who would climb up into the minaret of the mosque and shout early in the morning when everybody's trying to sleep that they need to come to the mosque. And he would cry the call to prayer until his sister became horribly sick. And one night in his room, he began to cry out to God in a new way that he'd never done before, seeking that God would reveal himself and heal his sister. And Jesus came to him in a vision. Abdullah gave his life to Christ without even understanding what he was doing. He found a church, began to be discipled, and then heard a call into ministry. I have the privilege now to work with, he calls himself Jeremy now, or Jeremiah in English. Jeremiah and I are planting a second church where Brandon and Hannah have walked. And I love because when we go through the streets of that very narrow, very violent neighborhood, he is blasting on a loudspeaker songs of worship, and the children come running from everywhere. You see, I genuinely believe that God has chosen him to be the one who cries out to people to come into God's presence. It just needed some corrective surgery. We dug a well for Jeremy. Jeremy is a reason I'm a missionary. He is a reason, but he is not the goal. You see, friends, safety is not the goal. Recklessness is not the goal either. Christ glorified is the goal. Can I say that again? Christ glorified is the goal. Beloved, we were made for a purpose. You were made for more than safety, more than living recklessly. You were made for a purpose to set your feet toward the presence of God and follow after him wherever it may lead you. The presence of God may lead you to Southeast Asia or Senegal. His Spirit may lead you to Ethiopia or Ecuador. He is leading you, but you will only know if you put the gear in drive. Cornerstone is a great place of safety, a place of healing, challenging, a place of restoration and encouragement. But the nations are waiting on the other side of these doors. There are children in Shady Hill, hurting in the Valley of Weeping, waiting for you to embrace them. There are villages surrounding Diridawa, searching blindly in the Valley of Tears, waiting for you to bring them living water. What is your goal today? If there was a plaque on your back, like that giant Chariot Picker all-terrain tank that I saw on 95, what would it say? Would it say, safety is our goal? Call 1-888-550, I wrote it down, 550-7233. Or would it say, blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord, who set their feet on pilgrimage? Friends, we were made for a purpose. Are you living it today? You were made for a purpose. Let's strive. Let's pray.
Church family, as we get ready to pray, I think it's one of those Sundays where God is doing everything to push us past what I'm going to push us to decision. I think, yeah, obviously, we didn't plan this, but as Pastor Jason and Haiti are taking this, I mean, we're seeing people saying yes in different ways teenagers saying yes. All this summer is going to be about, where do you need to go next? Have you made a decision? Have you put it into drive and said, I will start moving to what God has for me? And it's always about his presence. I want to know God more. So as we pray this prayer, would you just take this moment to, I mean, the word of the Lord that came forth, God's shepherding us, and he wants to lead us, and he's not going to lead us back to a dry place. I mean, everything about this service has been God trying to speak to all of us. Say yes, say yes, say yes. Step out with me. Go on a journey with me. Find where I am next. Make it your greatest goal and purpose. Do nothing more than that. Choose me. So, Lord, I pray now that, Father, some of us, Lord, there are steps, Father, for your glory and honor in our lives. Lord, people to serve, places to give. Father, discipleship to be had. Lord, prayers to be offered. Lord, physical journeys for people to go places and pray or to reach out to somebody or to serve. Father, I ask that next week as we begin to come to a time of decision, Lord, this is where you are calling me. I will take that pilgrimage this summer. I will choose to go someplace new, to be in your presence, to know who you are. Lord, would you allow every person, every teenager, every parent, every professional, Lord, every grandparent, Father, all of us in this place, Lord, call us. And Lord, even today, as Brett has brought forth the word, Lord, would you speak to the next generation of missionaries, Lord, whose goal is to glorify you, that are right in our midst today. Some of the teenagers in our room, Father, they know they're made for a purpose. They don't seem to fit any particular place, and they've wasted their time trying to fit in. And you've tried to say, Lord, the reason they haven't fit is because you're calling them to do something no one else is doing. So, Lord, I just ask now that you would work in our hearts. Would you take a moment now and personally in your heart say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to go where you call me, not my feelings, not my choice, not my circumstances, where you call me to go. Would you take a moment to do that? As you continue to pray, I'm going to read some 84 one more time. And as I do, if you are saying yes to the Lord, somewhere in the midst of me reading this, would you choose to stand as a decision, Lord? Father, speak to me. I will go where you call me to go. Anytime during this reading, would you take that stand? 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may yet lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Their early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield. O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Lord, we say yes to trusting in you. Take us to where you would. And Father, let there not be a spirit of fear. Let there not be a spirit of pride. Let us not in our own wisdom and emotion say what we will or will not do, but we say yes to following after you. And we thank you for this call. Lord, as we prepare to, Lord, give ourselves as a church family to the Psalm of Ascents, to the actual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, Lord, we ask that you would make this a summer, a Lord, of moving forward, of taking the next steps in our victory and our relationship and our obedience to you. And we ask as you do that, you would transform us and your peace, Lord, and your purposes would fill our lives. We ask it now humbly in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.